So good morning, everyone. I'm Anthony, and that's Laura. Just in case. I want to say thanks to our parents for coming through just to support us. And, you know, it's an absolute privilege to be, I think, on Laura's side, fourth-generation Christians, and on my parents' side, third. We're not third. The kids are third and fourth. But it's an absolute privilege. And then this morning, it's the first time Laura and I are preaching together, which is also amazing. And it's been an amazing experience. And so let's pray. Lord, we thank you for this morning. We thank you for the anticipation of what you have started to bring and what you're still going to bring. Lord, we thank you for what you're going to do here this morning. And Lord, as we bring this word, I pray for your spirit of revelation to fall upon every person here. Lord, I pray for people's eyes to be opened and to see into the spiritual realm. Lord, I pray that as we bring your word, people will see the things that have held them back, Lord. And let that, Lord, the things that are not of you would fall away in Jesus' name. And Lord, I pray for in this place, I pray for, Lord, just your Holy Spirit to come, for an anticipation to rise up from within. And Lord, let us engage your kingdom this morning as we preach in Jesus' name. Amen. So the cornerstone scripture that we've been... how do I make sure this thing works?
Please, I don't have that.
Okay, this is my job. Ta-da. Great. So... we've all been preaching through the series on Beyond Imagination. And I just want to read Ephesians 3, verse 14 to 21 to you with a slightly different emphasis this morning. For this reason, I kneel before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name. Pray that out of his glorious riches, he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell, not a visit, in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the Lord's holy people to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ. That grasping, part of it happens in the mind. And to know, there's this thing of knowledge, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. So there's a lot of knowing and knowledge in this passage. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. So our imaginations play an important role in unlocking the full measure of God and his kingdom. And the way our minds are programmed to think and process information and make decisions are either working for God's kingdom or against God's kingdom. And our conversations reflect the way we think, the way we programmed. So we're going to start off and have a little bit of fun with you. I'm going to be a Greek, and Laura's going to be a Hebrew, and we're going to have demonstrate to you the typical social interaction of these mindsets. And I want you to listen for how you engage with people and how you speak to people. What is the first thing you ask someone when you meet a stranger? Perhaps you might relate. So I'm going to start off by saying Kalimera, which is hello.
Shalom. Boker Tov.
All right, I'd like to know, what do you do?
And I would prefer to know, where are you from? What is your surname? What's your lineage?
Actually, what have you studied? How many degrees do you have? Are you a doctor? Do you have a master's?
But I am more interested in what community shul are you part of?
Actually, what I really want to know is, what have you achieved? How influential are you? How important is your job title? And actually, what car do you drive?
And I would rather know about you, your family, your parents, your brothers, your sisters.
And as I'm getting into my conversation with you, I'm actually thinking to myself, will it be good for me to know you? If I take a profile pic with you, will that help me? Will I get what I want from knowing you? Will I look better? Will I look more powerful, more knowledgeable, more influential because I know you? And you've got about 30 seconds to pass that test.
Yes, it's tough. But I would like to know you. I would like to hear your story and spend time with you. Really get to know you. And that's, I'm sure many of us can identify with a lot of those mindsets. So we're not talking about people here, Greek or Hebrew people, but we're addressing hidden mindsets. And the apple doesn't fall too far from the tree. I'm sure that we can identify a lot of those in Gauteng. In fact, we had a friend who lived abroad, and when he came back to South Africa, he was very conscious of how people engaged with him. And he said, you know, it's interesting, but people greet me differently in Gauteng and Durban, or KZN, and Cape Town. I've noticed this. In the conversation, when I go to Cape Town, the first thing I'm asked is, what suburb are you from? And what side of the mountain do you come from? But I go to KZN, and it's all about what brand are you wearing, what surf gear, and what school did you come from? And then in Gauteng, it is, what do you do, and how much money do you make? And these are gross generalizations, but I'm sure we can identify with a lot of them and how they creep into our Western mindset. The mindset that we fight in Gauteng is about success, ambition, and performance. Our upbringing, culture, and values, our personality shape our worldview. And we don't realize actually how much of this pre-programmed thinking interferes with the way that, or limits the kingdom of God in our lives and in our thinking. Also, there are strongholds in cities that hold us back from the promises of God for us. And in Daniel 10, verse 20, we see this when the prince of Greece fights against the angel Michael. And the Lord shows Daniel what's happening in the realm of the spirit. And he has to pray it through to get the victory. So when we were preparing this preach, it was great, a good background that in homeschooling over the past 3 years, we've been looking at the story of the world, the history of the world, through the time of the early Greeks, the Romans, and right up to this present age. And it was fascinating to see that there are so many underlying Greek ideas that have been woven into our Western society and our mindsets. Aristotle, Plato, and Socrates created the foundation of our thinking in the Western world. They were responsible for our reasoning and our debating. Athens were all about educational performance, and the Spartan worldview was physical strength and brawn. Greek philosophers and Greek civilization also formed a lot of our democracy. It was the concept of the Senate in governments that they brought in. They affected education and university systems and the Olympics too. But when man rebelled against God, the Tower of Babel, he called Adam out from among Abraham from amongst the nations to build from the bottom up a nation that would be forged and formed upon a relationship with God himself. Abraham was asked to leave his father's and mother's household, forget and unlearn the way that he had been taught to interact with the world. And that's why we're also looking at Hebrew culture, for it's one of the best examples of the interface of the kingdom of God, and it points to something greater.
Okay, so in case you're wondering, the guy on the left is Aristotle, and the guy on the right is supposedly the most realistic picture drawn of what a Jewish Jesus would have looked like. So on the left, you've got the Greek way of thinking, and on the right, you've got the Hebraic or the kingdom way of thinking. And what we're going to do now is unpack for you these mindsets, because they're not actually that obvious. And perhaps you related earlier on, but I think we want to take it a bit deeper. So I'm going to take you through the Greek mindsets, and Laura's going to take you through the Hebrew mindsets. And we're going to compare and contrast, and I want us to go slowly so that it penetrates and it sinks in. So in the Greek mindset, man is central.
And in the Hebrew mindset, God is central.
And actually, our Western mindset is all about pursuing knowledge, intellectual prowess, intellectualism, philosophy, knowledge, debate. These things are exalted, and they're worth more than other things, and actually they push God out of the system.
But the pursuit of God himself, his face, and a covenantal relationship with him is key in Hebraic thinking. From a very young age, they start to study the Torah.
Now, in our world view, in our Western world, this underlying Greek mind thinks that success is superior knowledge. Success is beauty. Success is brawn. I don't quite have the body for it. Physical strength and athletic physique. Money, fame, and obsession with that perfect body. And we see it all around us. And when you go to the beach, if you do go to the beach, you'll see it walking on the beach.
But success in God's kingdom is seeking after finding God's way of doing things. And this impacts every part of our life, our body, soul, spirit. It flows from a real relationship and connection with God and others.
So, in our world, this Greek Western mindset, what does man do? He looks at the outward appearance. And we see this every day. Instagram, WhatsApp profiles, everybody. It's actually not about being successful so much. I don't know how many millennials we have here, but we've got a few. You don't need to be successful. You just need to look successful. So you've got to get the right angle. Imagine a Lamborghini. It's not mine, but I take a profile pic, and there's my Lamborghini. Or I'm standing outside a beautiful house. It's not mine, and I take a photo because I want to look successful. I don't need to be successful. As long as I look successful, it's okay.
There's a true story, and I've seen that. The friend posing next to a Ferrari. But God cuts to the heart. He cuts to the core, past our core, our motivations and our concerns, our fears. He sees the heart.
This is an important one, and we're going to dig into it. In a Greek mindset, possibility is defined by natural laws and my level of knowledge. What do I know? And the reality is there are things that cannot change. They're fixed. There are these structural impediments in your life, and nothing you do can change them. So in your subconscious, you think that you are stuck, that these obstacles are immovable, and you can't change your life. Who's heard that saying which says, don't moan about the things you can't change?
But God is the only constant, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Everything else actually is subject to change. It's not reliable. Nothing except God is fixed. Mountains can move if we have faith, and things can be transformed.
One day you are loved, and tomorrow you are despised. Based on perceptions and fickle feelings, there's no constant view towards you from society. Society requires you to continually justify your existence, your worth, your value. It's not a constant.
But God's view of you and your potential and your destiny is constant, and his love for you is unchanging, unconditional, and his love is everlasting.
And this is the one that really gets the church. So as long as you moderate, as long as you are consistent and you do things that align with your own understanding, and what you do is logical, it's based on human knowledge and understanding, it's acceptable to the people around you, it's acceptable to your culture, it's not offensive, well then you are a good citizen and you're a good church because you're reasonable and you're moderate and you preach self-help programs and motivational talks and you mention Jesus on the side. That's reasonable.
But God's kingdom is powerful. It's not moderate. And it cannot be limited by logic. It's supernatural. It's what we were singing about this morning. It's set a fire in my bones, and do I believe it? It's God, break in with your power beyond my logical reasoning. When we operate in the realm of the kingdom, we operate in the mind of the Spirit in revelation or with revelation and faith, which transcends our logic, which makes us irrational and foolish, like David.
Yeah. Performance-based living. Everything is about performance. And the reality is, if I can understand it first, then I will do it. I'm only prepared to believe things I understand. I'm only prepared to do things that make sense to me. I want to define my own world.
But if I really am willing to believe in God's power and have faith, I can step out and I can do it. It's irrational, like Peter stepping out of the boat onto the water before I fully understand it. Transcends my mind.
And you know, we're not immune from this in the church. So, and I think we can all relate to this, and I'll speak for myself. You go from conference to conference, and you want to pursue and accumulate as much as you can know about God and his kingdom and his word, and if your life's not being transformed, what are you doing? You know, it's, and if we in the church exalt pursuit of knowledge, or pursuit of perfect theology over and above the heart of God and connection with God, we actually shut out the power of the kingdom.
And there's nothing wrong with that, but it's about the connection to the vine and the transformational fruit in our lives.
There's everything wrong with shutting out the power of God, but yes, so I get you.
With conferences. And accumulating knowledge.
I get it. So I was reading a book on holiday, and it was a book set which was looking at the medieval times. And I was so struck at how antichrist our worldview is and our system is. Back in the medieval times, I don't know who's been to Italy or the Mediterranean and you've been to their villages. If you go to a country village in Italy, you drive up towards the village in the beautiful golden Tuscan fields, and the first thing you see is this very tall spire sticking out from the village. The tallest building, the largest building, is the church. And that church is in the middle of the village. And the entire village is built around the church. And their whole life revolved around the church. And it's like our worldview, what is going on in our society today? We are building complexes like Stain City where you live, shop, and work all in the same place, and there's no church inside that complex. And you're like a Melrose Arch. The office and your house, you know, work and home, basically one. You walk downstairs to your office and, you know, It's this crazy worldview where church is not central. And in the medieval times, the guys would go to church because they couldn't read or write. So they'd go to church for the word. They'd go to church to be preached for. They'd go to church to have their sins dealt with and confess their sins. They'd go to church to resolve their disputes and their arguments. They wouldn't go to court. They'd go to the priests. They would go, if they didn't have money, they'd go to the church for provision because the church stored provisions. If they didn't have beer, they'd also go to the church because the church was the brewer. And we don't see that today. Now it's odd to go to church on a Sunday. Not so much in South Africa, but I'll tell you what, in Europe, you go to church because it's a museum to see the beautiful art. So, how do we deal with these hidden strongholds? It's so much easier to deal with something you can see. Ah, I see you. I'm going to take you out. But these are things that we're born into. We don't realize they limit us. They impact the way we see the world. They impact the way we read and understand Scripture. They impact the way we interact with the kingdom of God, and we're limiting ourselves through these things. How do we deal with this? If you've got your Bibles, go to 2 Corinthians 10, verse 3 to 5. And this, for me, is so key for this morning. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. You could write there, they're not of this Western world. They're not Greek mindsets. But they are mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. Now, verse 5 is really important. And that word there, arguments, in some of your translations, you will see it says vain imaginations. The Greek word is logistos, and it actually means logical reasonings. So if you read that scripture again and you say, oh my goodness, casting down logical reasonings and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Suddenly, it makes sense. Because the reality is, the principalities of this world, the devil, he comes at you through information, through reasoning, logic, facts, and moderate thinking. The devil knows your behavior patterns. He knows how you're wired. He knows your trigger points. And he brings thoughts, lies, and accusations which line up with the world system, with your upbringing, your customary behavior, and your worldview. He's very reasonable. You see, logic is a link in a chain that keeps you in bondage to the world system. I'm going to say that again. Logic is a link in a chain that keeps you in bondage to the world system. You feel like this because you did this. And this is your family background. No one's really broken through this level. And then you had a bad day. Then you had a bad month. Then you've had a bad year. And actually, you've had a rubbish life, and it all makes sense. Can anyone relate? But these are limiting beliefs. Logic is a limiting belief. And what does it do? It trades in unbelief away from the kingdom of heaven. It limits imaginations and possibilities. And it attacks our internal world. And it chains us to an earthly narrative. I want to show you this picture. So there's my Greek guy with all his bulging muscles. And you can see his worldview is formed by the perceptions people have of him and the knowledge that he gains on this earth. And it's a head knowledge. And it's this stronghold of thinking in a Western way, in a Greek mindset. And it's this interaction you have every day with people at work, people in your family, people around you. And actually, that dotted line is the stronghold. It's that barrier. Because as mankind, we can only go as far as we know. We can only, you know, we can get to the moon. We can't get to Mars yet. And so the realm we can operate in is defined by what we know. And we're pursuing, pushing up that boundary, that stronghold, creating more space. And the more you know, the more space you have to look like a big deal because you have so much knowledge, so much influence. But you're trading out of unbelief because everything that sits above that line is of God's kingdom and you can't access it because this thing has hemmed you in, it's locked you in. And what does it leave you doing? You live a moderate and reasonable life. You're ruled by rational reason, logic, and limitations of human knowledge. And you will live an ordinary life. And you will go to the grave and it will say, he lived a beautiful, moderate life. He never offended anyone. Well done. That can't be it. Just can't be it. You see, we're called to live a kingdom life. And if you see there, if we focus on God's knowledge and opinions of us and who we are and the people around us, if we have God's heart of love, if we learn to love because God loved us first, if we learn to love each other the way God loves us, our view of this world changes. And actually, we impact the people around us and we bring heaven down to earth. And that barrier, that stronghold disappears. It is irrelevant in your life. Logic and reason will not chain you down to this earth and limit you because you've got access to the kingdom of God. You see, the kingdom of God is not reasonable and it's not moderate. We can access things we've never accessed before above the line. Within his kingdom, we can move mountains. We can move timelines. You see, these structures of logic and reasoning, what do? If you look there, they set themselves up against the knowledge of the kingdom of God. So, what does Proverbs 3 verse 5 say? Don't lean on your understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. We are empowered through knowing God and having an increasingly growing knowledge of God. And that's how we can oppose these strongholds. Man's knowledge limits. Man's knowledge chains us down. Man's traditions, ways, and customs result in behavior that is opposite to the kingdom and denudes the kingdom of its power. Knowing God is infinite. Setting our imagination on his kingdom and the way of Jesus sets us free and is infinitely empowering.
So that leads into the fact that we can actually believe the impossible. In 1 Corinthians 22, it says, "For the Jews request a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified. To the Jews, a stumbling block." And I'm going to pause there and say, we know some Hebrew families, and it's incredible the way they live their lives. But if it's religion or if it's cultural only, it's a stumbling block. Christ crucified, unless we know that Christ was crucified for us, it's a stumbling block. And to the Greeks, foolishness. But to those who called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God, and the wisdom of God, because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. It's the power of the cross that has the power. To us, 5 and 2 make 7, but 5 loaves and 2 fish in the kingdom feeds 5,000. Imagine that. Imagine what the disciples were thinking. I mean, we sometimes get overwhelmed by the need. And I'm sure that that miracle was as much for the people as it was for the disciples and for their faith to rise. Just put yourself in their shoes for a second and think about what it must have felt like to minister to those 5,000 people in front of you. We can't do it in our own strength. It's the power of the gospel. We need the power. It's not our power. It's the power of Christ. And imagine if we thought, what would my life look like with God's full power flowing through it? Instead of relying on our own abilities, instead of working hard, being connected, what would it look like if God's provision broke through? And we really believed it, like the disciples watching that food just multiply. A lie believed is a lie empowered. But when we partner with the kingdom realm, faith as small as a mustard seed can move mountains, as Mark 11:23 says. And Jesus said, all things are possible to those who believe. I've got this picture of the diamond here, because if you look, actually, I took my kids to the Cullinan Diamond Mine on Friday, and the timing was amazing. The Lord's been speaking to me about diamonds, and it was quite profound to actually go there and walk through the reality of the mine and diamonds and how we harvest those diamonds. So that lump, which doesn't actually look as sparkling as that, it's got no luster. We were all amazed when they showed us, they presented us with the imitation of the rock that was taken out, the Cullinan diamond, the biggest diamond in the world, that eventually ended up in the Queen's crown, the crown jewels. They showed us this lump of rock, and it was outstanding to think that someone could actually look at this lump and envisage or see nine priceless diamonds that were cut from that. It took quite a lot of imagination. It took a lot of skill, but to look at this lump and see that and to see how each diamond could be cut. God speaks to us through the prophetic. He shows us the kingdom realm. He speaks to us through dreams and signs, and faith rises, and we're able to see into a realm where it just beyond a lump, into the possibility, into our destiny, into what He's called for us, called us for. The Lord actually began to speak to me about diamonds and how they lack truth. I've been listening to a book by Lisa Bevere called Adamant, and she speaks about how adamant is Adamus, which was the name given to the stone. It was used to describe Jesus, the cornerstone, the anchor upon which we build our lives, the image that we're being conformed to. That diamond, or the diamond of Christ, is immovable, invincible, and diamonds cannot be crushed. Like a sharp-edged sword, a diamond and truth that it brings cuts to the core, separating bone and marrow. So powerful, it can separate what's natural and what's supernatural and bring transformation, truth. They are not also man-made, and nothing synthetic can compare to their value. They are priceless, they are rare and sought after. They harvest about 30 tons of rock, and only a handful of that rock becomes has value and worth. And what was also beautiful to see is the in Africa and in India, those are the only two places where you get the blue diamond. And blue stood out for me because blue is revelation, and the Lord was speaking to me through this metaphor, and how they actually use borium. Only certain precious stones react with borium and turn blue. And that, I thought, is like us. where we will partner with the kingdom and spiritual revelation, and the Lord can bring truth. Also, diamonds are formed from volcanic rock, fiery lava, fire. There's a great price to extracting, to the formation and the extraction of these invaluable resources. And this, for me, speaks of Jesus and the price that he paid, the power of the gospel. It's supernatural. The Lord's also been speaking to me about this diamonds and truth and how immovable truth is so important and relevant to today's postmodern mentalities, where truth is relative and opinions are vast. Truth and God's truth is immovable, invincible, and rare. When I'm coaching, the Lord's been speaking to me about bringing this into real life situations. I'm listening to what my client is saying, but I'm listening to what they're not saying, and to the Father's voice, to see the truth that he has for that person, and to call out their destiny. And that's what we call to. We're not called to be the rubble of carbon or the byproducts. When the Lord looks at us, he sees the finished product, the cut diamond, and not just for ourselves, but we're called to call that destiny out in others, call out the diamonds in others. My friend also, it was a long trip to Cullinan and a long trip home, and she was just telling me, we're speaking about a metaphor that the Lord's been using, a sign that he's been using to speak to her about faith and provision. It's an ever tree that was in her garden and was not producing any fruit, whereas the neighbor's tree on the other side of the fence was laden with fruit. She had to stop herself from feeling jealous. And then the Lord started to speak to her about this fruit and how, and as he spoke to her, miraculously, flowers started to form on this tree, and fruit began to form. And she eventually, the Lord also just spoke to her about how she's going to steward this fruit. And she, quite a few beautiful avos dropped from this tree. And it was just the Lord saying to her, speaking to her about faith and his provision. And we just want to also make this real, bring some testimonies of where the Lord has spoken to us. Signs, metaphors, he speaks to us in various ways. Dreams, visions, he gives us these keys to overcome strongholds in our lives.
So we're going to share some personal testimonies. You know, it's all very well talking about this, but how real is this? And can we live with a kingdom mindset and do things that are opposite to the world system? And so as we're sharing these testimonies, you know, the word says that the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. So as we start to testify, I'm praying that the spirit of prophecy starts to rise up, and so that you can start, and those with the prophetic gifting, start to listen. What's the Lord saying? Start to open your eyes. What are you showing me? Because I really believe that as we share these testimonies, when we're going to a time of ministry, that destiny can be called out in people's lives and strongholds broken. Because you don't want to live your life chained to logic and reasoning. So we lived in the UK for 7 years, 2001 to 2008. In the UK, the world says to you, you have to own a house. If you don't own a house really fast, you'll never get on the property ladder. It's too expensive. The faster you buy a house, the better. And this narrative is hitting you the whole time. So I'm like, babe, we need to get a house. And how do we do this? And it's very expensive. And so anyway, we eventually find this place and we make an offer and the offer's accepted. And in the UK, the way the system works is the deal only goes through literally at the end of the process. The night before the deal completes, I have this vivid dream. And in this dream, I see this exact house, and its foundations were filled with black snakes. And I was like, wow. So I woke up in the morning, and I said to Laura, my love, the Lord's spoken to me, we cannot buy that house. And Laura's like, what? And I'm like, well, it's clear. And I shared the dream. And I'll never forget going to work with trepidation because I knew what I was going to do. I decided the Lord's spoken. He's from his kingdom realm. He's spoken to me. Do not buy that house. So I phoned up the agent and I said to them, listen, you know that house we've decided we wanted to buy? We're not buying it. Oh, my word. Venom, fire, wrath, anger, just thrown at me. How dare you do that? Who do you think you are? You can't do this. I said, well, actually, I'm legally entitled to do it, and I don't have peace about buying this house. And she was like, what is that? You know, like she just didn't get it because this was a point of conflict between the kingdom of heaven and the kingdom of this earth. And I was going against the world system. And how dare I? But the Lord protected us. It wasn't the perfect house for us. He provided us something much better. So that's just an encouraging story.
And I'll share a story that we don't always understand these things, but I had this encounter where I didn't even understand that it was happening to me until it was happening. And I was going for a run with a friend. We arranged to run on a trail, and I had to get up and set my alarm, but it didn't go off. And in the waking moments, as I was kind of emerging before the alarm went off, I felt as if Jaden sat on the end of my bed. And I opened my eyes, woke me up, and I thought, and I didn't see anyone there. And I thought, that's strange, because I really, it felt, I know, he comes through to our room often. And I'd felt exactly like him sitting on the bed. And I thought, oh, that's really strange. But I carried on getting ready for the run. And I went for this run with a friend. And it happened that in the last 1K of the run, I slipped and fell so badly that I ended up with 8 stitches in my in my brow. But what was amazing to me is in that moment, the Lord spoke truth. I suddenly realized, Lord, I know I've prayed Psalm 91. Lord, send your angels to commission your angels, send them to protect me and lift me up, as Psalm 91 says, so that I do not strike my foot against a stone. And this truth just kept going through my head. And I looked at the friend, and she looked at me. She's not a Christian, and it was so bad. She said, "Should we go to the emergency?" And but what was so powerful is because I had God's truth and this experience where I knew I did begin to realize that that was Him commissioning an angel. He had already gone before me, and she was she just couldn't believe that in the midst of this terrible disaster, which I can't explain, but I had such peace. It was a great testimony to her, and I went through the process with the hospital, and she kept saying to me, "I cannot believe," she said to Anthony, "I cannot believe how calm your wife is." But it was because I knew God had commissioned an angel. The Lord went before me, and really, it could have been a lot worse. You can't even see where the scar is. The Lord was gracious to me.
Yeah, sometimes in life, even in crisis, you know, the Lord's with us. And when we went back to see where Laura had fallen, it could have and possibly should have been much, much worse. And, you know, it's quite hard to explain, an angel looking after me, da-da-da, but you still got a cut and you're still hurt. But actually, when I looked at that, I was like, wow, you got off lightly. It really could have and should have been much worse. Another testimony from our lives. I've been, this time last year, was a really, really tough space in my life. And I was facing many challenges on the work front. And the Lord had spoken to me through dreams about what was going on. And there were certain political maneuverings and things happening in the workplace that were, their purpose was to undermine me and my team. And it was a very, very challenging time. And it's a long story, which I can't go into just for time. But the reality is, there was a six-week window where the Lord intervened. And I'm quite a, I get involved. I like to be in the room. And I got wind that this was happening behind the scenes, as it were. And I wasn't part of the conversation. There was something going on. And the Lord said to me, stay out of it. I was like, wow, zip it, Anthony. Okay, that's quite hard for me. Zip it, zip it. So I just stayed out of it and said, Lord, you keep going. Your will be done here. And in that 6 weeks, the Lord effectively enabled structural changes in the bank to happen, which meant, you know, this time last year the team was two or three people. It's now eight. New boss, new part of the bank, and fully empowered with a huge amount of favor. And that window was so limited because the guys who made that decision and were kind of the primary input makers to that decision have left the bank. And the guys who replaced them would never have allowed that structural change. And so the Lord went before and he went, woof, done, done. And that's where you just see God's kingdom realm coming in and it operates. And we just sometimes have to, you know, do before we understand. We can't always understand everything. It was really tough going, oh, I want to be part of the solution. But I had to back out. Logic and reason would have failed me.
So we want to not just talk about ourselves. we want to say to you, where can you see that there are worldly strongholds and lies that have limited God in your life?
So we've been praying, and the theme coming through this morning has been of revelation to see, of eyes to open. So, Paul, if you can put the background music on, please. Really, if this describes you, if you are sitting here and you say, well, Anthony and Laura, I recognize that my head and my mind is in control of my life and not my heart. And I recognize that my mind is out of control with thoughts that are opposite to the kingdom of God. And my life is being ruled by logic and reasoning. And I don't know how to break free. I feel stuck. I feel like there are these immovable objects that just hem me in and block me from accessing the full power of God. Then we'd love to pray for you. And really, you know, the strongholds of the mind, it seems reasonable, but it's a lie. And so this morning we want to just lead a time of ministry where you can see these things that have held you back. And my prayer is, as we've been preaching, that the Holy Spirit's been showing you those strongholds you believe, those lies you believe, those things that have held you back. Because you're not meant to live under that stronghold. You're not destined to live an ordinary life that's reasonable and acceptable to those around you. You're just not. This church is not going to be a reasonable church. It's not. It's going to offend everybody. It's going to offend us because the calling's so big. The destiny's so great, and we need to get out of this comfort zone of, I can go here, I don't mind falling over, Lord, I'd like a little shake, a few goosebumps, that's good. No, the kingdom of God's much bigger than that. It's much, much bigger than that. So if you are feeling like you would like, if you've recognized that you've been subjected to a stronghold in your life that's holding you back, I'd like to invite you forwards. And then what we're going to do is we're going to invite two or three people who are members of Lifehouse. You need to be a member of Lifehouse if you want to be part of ministry up front. Please understand, people in this home, this is a home, you don't just allow anyone to go look after your child. So when it comes to ministry moments, it's for members of Lifehouse. If you're a Christian and you're visiting, please join us in prayer. You know, it's be part of the moment. But if that's you and you're feeling, hey, there are these strongholds, I'd like to invite you up. And then we're going to invite people to gather around you, and we're going to pray for the prophetic to be unlocked and for people to speak prophetic words into your life and to call out destiny. And we're going to pray for these strongholds of the mind to be broken. So I think everyone stand, because you're looking way too passive. Holy Spirit, we thank you that all things are possible to those who believe. We thank you, Jesus, that you have set us free from this world system. We thank you, Lord, that we don't have to be bound by logic and reasoning. And Holy Spirit, as we stand together, we pray that you come and touch every person here. We pray that you shine a light on those things that we've subconsciously, unconsciously partnered with that are opposite to the kingdom. Can be something small, can be something big. We all have these things in our lives where we lean on our own understanding rather than God's kingdom. And we have these strongholds, patterns of behavior in our families, in our lineages that we subscribe to when we shouldn't. So I want to take us through a corporate prayer to deal with these things. So those who are ministering, carry on. But I'm going to work with everyone who's free and willing. So close your eyes, and I want you to raise one hand to heaven, and I want you to put the other hand on the back of your head, on the back of your neck, because that is what joins your head to your body. Simple as that. Lord Jesus, we thank you that your kingdom is above every other kingdom. We thank you, Jesus, that your name is above every other name. We thank you, Lord, that your ways are higher than our ways. We thank you, Lord Jesus, that logic and reason have to bow their knee to the ways of the kingdom. And Lord, right now, we bring to you our minds, our thoughts, our thought patterns, those things that would hold us in bondage. Lord, logic and reason that is opposite to the kingdom. Lord, patterns of thinking that denude your kingdom of power. Lord, that leave us helpless. We bring those things to you, Father, and we say, no more. And Lord, we pray that by the power of your Holy Spirit, that those chains, those bondages, those strongholds would be broken now in Jesus' name. We pray, Lord, by the power of your Spirit, break. Chains fall off in Jesus' name. We declare liberty. We declare freedom. We declare power. We declare passionate people, Lord, in love with you and abandon. Lord, I pray for unreasonable Christians to rise up out of this place, Lord. Lord, I pray for your kingdom to come. Lord, let us not be held back by reason. Let us not be held back by logic. But Lord, let us be celebrating your kingdom. Lord, I pray for your kingdom to come in a powerful way. Lord, let nothing hold your kingdom back. We pray for minds that are set free, minds that are filled with the knowledge of God. And we pray, Lord, that every high thing, every reason, every logic would fall away that is against your kingdom, Father, in Jesus' name. Everyone said, Amen. Amen.